perfect. There's going to be a lot of information tonight. So what I've done is I'll give you the option. You can either put your name and your email address down on a piece of paper that we have, or I'll give you an option to, you can text a number to our address that we have, and we'll send you the slides and the audio of the talk tonight so you can kind of listen to it, because we're going to be going through the information quite quickly. And as obvious as the nail is in somebody's head, I believe fatigue is to lack of sleep, right? So there is so many times over and over and over again I hear, oh my God, I'm so tired. We're like, so how much are you sleeping? Oh, no, 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 it's not that. Can you give me something for my fatigue? You know, and it's like that nail in the front of somebody's head. So I want to commend you and welcome you guys for being here, because I love sleep. I mean, I like to sleep, but this is one of my favorite topics. I think I might know the most on this topic about, not so much, you know, the specific brainwave patterns, which we're going to be going on. We're going to be highlighting that. We're going to be highlighting foods to stay away from. We're going to be highlighting positions and types of beds. All of the questions that people ask, we're going to be touching on. But what I've done is I've tried everything. I've tried to bring myself down to sleep depravity and see, you know, get myself sick. Over the years, I've gotten myself sick. I've learned how to get healthy from it. I mean, I've tried all of this stuff on myself, you know, and I'm willing to do that. I took notes. I'll show you. I have books back there of notes that I take of all the stuff that I try. So, and on my consciousness on a very regular basis is these four pillars of health that I talk so much about. I'm giving a wellness workshop every month this year. And each one of them is really on kind of a little bit of a different take on the four pillars. So if you want those four pillars, you can go to my website and download them. But, you know, my goal is to just empower and guide you to a better life. And I use that word empower very, very carefully. I've chosen that word very carefully because I believe we have so much information that is wrong, that are driving our belief systems, and we don't know, and the information that we're coming from, the resources that we're using, are just blatantly wrong. So I'll give you for instance, I read in, you know, Men's Health, yeah, that's right, Men's Health Journal, yeah, Men's Health, I'm a big proponent on hydration, right, drinking a lot of water. And I am big on drinking half of your body weight in ounces to detoxify, to rehydrate. Then you can cut that back a little. But it has to be H2O. I read an article in Men's Journal that people use as their wellness resource that said it doesn't matter if it's soda, if it's milk, or if it's water. You just need to get the fluid in your body. It made me puke. Because people are listening to this. So ultimately, the number one defining characteristic of your health and well-being is your belief system. And it's because your beliefs dictate your actions. Who defines your belief system? Do you think? Your parents, your fathers, your brothers, your preachers, your teachers. It's the people around you that define your belief system. The five, to be more specific, it's the five closest people to you that define your belief system. So, we happen to live where? In the United States. Based on life expectancy, what do you think? I know there's a lot of people that have listened to me speak in here, but based on life expectancy, where do you think the United States ranks on the 50 healthiest countries in the world as of January 2014? 51. We don't even rank on the 50 healthiest countries. And no, that's the people around us defining our belief systems. Your fathers, your brothers, your preachers, your teachers. So where we're looking for this information, it's not going to be obvious to you because of the fact that everybody's doing the wrong thing. And I can't be any more blatant about it anymore. I usually, I'm sorry, I'm going to challenge your belief systems. I'm going to because of the fact that it's wrong. So I am very sensitive to the point that I don't want to come over and be too over the top. So I will present the information in kind of a light-hearted, fun way. But I want you to open up your mind. And like I say, free your mind and your health will follow. Because a lot of this information, you'll say, no, it can't be. Because I would have been, no. Look at all the commercials. All the commercials are showing you, to sleep this way. And, and they're buying you a bed. And you can buy, you. I love this. This is great. We live in a comfort world, right? So you can buy a pillow for any position to sleep in. But nobody's telling you what position to sleep in. You give me a side sleeper and I'm going to give you a shoulder problem. It's going to happen. If you don't have it now, you're going to. And then people, ravenous around the world, right? The more comfortable the beds are getting, the worse shoulder problems are getting. And to me, it's that the nail in the head is, yeah, you can only sleep on your arm like this until it hurts. Yeah, but I have a torn rotator cuff. Yeah, but you can't, you're sleeping on it like this. No, I got a torn rotator cuff. I need a cortisone injection. But you're sleeping on the thing like this. Did I tell you I got a torn rotator cuff? But what's causing the torn rotator cuff? Can you sleep on your back? No, I can't do that. So I'm going to go for surgery on my labrum. Not me. Oh, yeah, go for surgery on your labrum, which is going to be fantastic. You're going to be out 6 months. And, yeah, but tears don't heal. Okay, fine. Go to surgery on that labrum. You'll be out 6 months and then come back to me in 5 years, when it comes back, or even a year when it comes back. It's because nobody is addressing the lifestyle issues, the belief systems that are causing our problems, I believe. So I've developed this whole quest to educate people. I'm educating people all over the place. I'm in unions. I'm in different companies now. I'm speaking all over the place. Any place that will have me, I will speak at. That's it. That is my drive. I need to get this information out there, because if I don't, who will? The information, are we getting healthier as a society or less healthy? Less healthy. We're becoming fatter, obesity, blood pressure's on the rise, high cholesterol's on the rise, death from heart disease. How do we prevent it in this country? We take what? Three things. Statin, so a cholesterol medication. Give me another medication. A high blood pressure medication. What's the last one? Does anybody know the last one? An aspirin, right? We take the most amount of those three medications of any other country in the world. What's the leading cause of death in the United States? Heart disease. And what are those three medications designed to prevent? Death from heart disease. So it doesn't make sense. It's not the cholesterol's issue. It's just telling us that there's something's wrong. And the reason why I bring that one specific one up is because it's extremely... it's tied into sleep in a major, major, major way. So we look at, tonight we're going to look at sleeping position. Time to go sleepy, okay? The type of bed. I did not give this to my staff to proofread. So if you find a spelling error, that's me and my ADD. And I'm going to be looking for them because I put this together last night. All right? So hours of sleep. And, I'm going to drink myself to sleep. Not too late, really. But actually, that's a very important point. You have to be very structured. Your body loves consistency, regardless of what that consistency is. That is the only way to escape the actual time of sleep, is to be very consistent with your patterns. So we're going to address these things. So, if you want, right, I give a talk, it's called The Four Pillars, of health, this is one of the pillars. Sleep is number one. The way that I came up with the four pillars is, I'm adding a fifth pillar. But the way that I came up with these four pillars is I said, if I take these away, how long will you live without them? So let me give you for instance. So if I take, how long can you go without sleep, do you think, before you die? You go delirious in 3 days. It's estimated because nobody has ever been able to make it to this point, but it's estimated about 5 days, 5 to 6 days. Without sleep, your body will shut down. Okay? You'll go into a coma. You won't die, you know, after 4 days. You will go into a coma, and that's a way that your body put yourself to sleep. You know, hydration, how long can you go without water? Right? How long can you go without a nervous system? They've done studies on rats where they've taken the spine, they've moved it out of position, they've held it in position, and after a week and a half, that rat got cancer from interfere because your nervous system is your lifeline. They also did studies: the pressure on a nerve equal to the weight of a dime will cause a nerve to malfunction by 60%. So, you know, you have all these disc herniations that people have and this arthritis and this degeneration. Well, if you're affecting the way that nerve functions by 60% and that nerve goes to your digestive tract, it seems plausible that you might have digestion issues, right? And that's the whole point with these pillars. And then the next one I'm putting here is move. Move, you can go a long time and you can live without movement, but it causes something very specific to happen internal. So we're going to be talking about exercise on my fifth pillar. You can all go to my website. You put your name, your email address in, then you can have that four pillars. So signs of sleep deprivation, okay? I had to go everywhere to find signs. And, I mean, look at this, right? I'm tired too, you know, yawning. I'm joking. So colds and flus, high blood pressure, fatigue. How many people have ever heard that somebody's fatigued, right? How many people have been fatigued? Me too. And the first thing I look at is what, do you think? Sleep. Look at sleep. It's like the nail right here. And then, oh, I love this one, right? So somebody will come in, they'll be sleep deprived. They'll have hives throughout their whole body. They'll have allergies. Allergies is a sleep deprivation thing, okay? So when you have allergies, a lot of times it's fatigue. So because it causes a hypersensitivity in the immune system, and they'll come in, and then I'll recommend sleep. Okay. So they've gone 30 years with lack of sleep, and now they've internalized all that stress to now. So I'll recommend sleeping. Is it going to be easy for them to sleep? No, right? So your body lives in two worlds. It lives in a world over here that's called survival world. What do you think survival world is? Running from a tiger, heart pounding, musculoskeletal system like this. You're very irritable, like what? You know, that's this world over here. Type A, have a whole bunch of stuff going on. Beeping up the horn in the guy in front of you because the light just turned green, right? And then he waited 5 seconds and you beep, and that's this whole survival world over here. Hello, people. Then you're in this world. Now you're in this growth in development world. This is where the immune system lives. This is where sleep is. This is where the digestive system lives. So it's no coincidence that people usually have digestion issues, sleep issues, immune system issues, reproductive issues, all in the same world, because this is over here. So you cannot run from a tiger and eat a sandwich at the same time. Right? Do you get that? You know, your mother ever tell you when you were young, you ate a sandwich and then don't go in the pool because you'll get cramps? That's because you can't, a cell cannot be in defense and growth at the same time. Do you get that? So when this individual is, when this individual comes into the office sleep deprived, do you think they're here? Or do you think they're here? You're here, right? You are running on adrenaline. Running on adrenaline, if you're running from a tiger, do you think that is a, while you're running from a tiger, is that an energy lacking state? No, you feel like you have the power to lift, you know, trains here. So this person will deny that they have energy issues. But they will tell you if they sit on a couch, they will fall asleep. All right? So now you have this individual that is vitamin D deficient, that is iron deficient, that has low testosterone levels, hormone imbalance, another sign. What else am I looking for? Oh, no, sorry. Hold on. Vitamin D, forget about it. Whatever. So they're deficient in a lot of levels over here. Because their cortisol levels are high, they're gaining weight, that's over here. And then I tell them, I say, I want you to sleep more. They go to, somehow, it just happened, they go to sleep, and they now sleep, they were sleeping 5 hours or 6 hours a night, now they sleep for 8 hours. How do they feel? How do they feel? Horrible. Absolutely. Why do they feel... fantastic. Give her a little clap right there. That's fantastic. Why do they feel horrible?
Their body doesn't like know what to do.
Because the body is going to sit there and say, holy crud. It's going to reprocess, just like somebody going through this process the first time. They're going to be like, whoa. I need to do all this healing now. So it's going to throw you over here. Is this an energy-rich state or more of a sleeping, low-energy state?
Low-energy
state, exactly. So when you start getting sleep, your body is going to shift to this sleep state, and you're going to feel horrible at the beginning. And so you often hear people say, no, I can't get sleep, I feel worse. No, I know you do. It's a nail in the head for me. I know you're going to feel worse because that's your body healing. Okay, you're going to get sick. You're going to get colds. You're never going to go to Vegas, you know, for 4 days and get sick in Vegas. You're going to get sick when you come home because your body's running on adrenaline. Immune system is suppressed. You're running. Your body can run in survival without being sick. But the second you come back and you rest and you sleep, you're going to get sick. And then people are going to be like, no, I just got to keep going. I got to keep pushing. You keep pushing. You get high blood pressure, high cholesterol, fatigue, all of these issues. Do you see how all this is playing a role? Kind of. I'm just some nuts dude that's standing up here making all this stuff up. I do make a lot of stuff up, though. No, I'm joking. I don't. It's all research. Done on myself. Absolutely. Now we're going to get into that. But the first thing I really, really... You see, so my the way that I present is I like to make the why big. Right? Because if the why is big enough, the what doesn't matter. So if I can get somebody to attach to the issue that, yeah, okay, sleep is has to be a major driving factor of my life, which it is for my life, you know, everything evolves really around sleep. I'm in bed pretty rigidly at a very specific time. Weekends, going out, stuff like that, it's a little bit different, but on my, you know, my 80% of my life is in bed at like 9:30. Yep, because I am on. I need to have the energy for a patient at 8 in the morning, the same energy that I have at 6:30 at night, because it's not fair to them if I don't. So I am in a very energy-rich state. We can see 100 people in a day. You know, so that's a lot of energy I'm giving out, so I need to make sure that my batteries are charged. Sleep cycles, extremely important to understand here. We're going to try to go through this information. We're going to start moving a little bit quicker now. What I want you to understand, when does your body heal? What stage of sleep? What stage? REM sleep. REM sleep is also where you do what? Dreaming, right? So look at these stages of sleep. So this is 0 hours. This is 1, 2, 8. This is your body should go through 5 sleep cycles a night. Okay? Now, it is important that you go through all 5 sleep cycles in an 8-hour sleep cycle. Okay? So that's why 8 hours is kind of important. You can get away with a little bit less if you're consistent in different reasons. I'll tell you how and why. But look at this here. This is considered stage 4 deep sleep. Deep sleep is very difficult to wake an individual up in deep sleep. They're out. Forget about it. Done. See you later. Good night. You're out. You're down low. Now, REM sleep is more of a what type of sleep? More of a conscious sleep. Your brain's moving. It's being engaged. It's processing information. It's very important for later. It's processing information in REM sleep. So if you wake up and your brain is processing information, when you wake up in the middle of the night, guess what you're doing? What are you doing? Thinking. And you can't go to sleep thinking. You have to go to sleep remembering. And that's what we're going to be talking about, how to put yourself to sleep. And when you wake up, it takes a lot of self-discipline. Because I've done it both ways, and it doesn't work when you think yourself to sleep. So when you look here, extremely important. You start out here. You go right through REM sleep all the way down to deep sleep. So when your kids go to sleep or when you go to sleep, the first hour, it's tough to wake you up because you're out. Is that, you know, so you're in deeper sleep at the very beginning. Then you come out to this little stage. Wind's blowing. You consciously wake up in your mind. You heard the wind blowing, and then you're gone again. And then you come back, you're dreaming, the cat wakes you up. They're not waking you up down here. It takes a lot to wake you up down there. It's waking you up here. 80% of your healing throughout the whole day is done at night, sleeping. I don't care if you have a cold, if you have reflux, if you have diabetes. Your body repairs and energizes at night. If you have any chronic disease, get more sleep. I don't care what it is. That's a pillar. I can't stress that enough. You want better memory. You want to be able to think more clearly, less irritability. Sleep, sleep, sleep. It's amazing how it works. So you come down here and then you're coming out. That's a normal sleep cycle. Now, has anybody ever had an alcohol beverage? All right. Now, has anybody ever fallen asleep after having an alcoholic beverage and got 9 hours of sleep and woke up and is completely tired? All right. You don't think you are, but you are. Here's the difference in sleep. When does your body do most of its healing? At night, when it sleeps, but more specifically, in what stage of sleep? REM sleep. So when you have alcohol, what happens is you're awake, but you drop right down to deep sleep and you stay in it for a length of time. You come up, you don't even come close to REM sleep because you're out. Then you're going to dive right back down. Then you're going to come in. Then you're going to touch REM sleep towards the end of your sleep cycles. This is going to become extremely important when I tell you about times to go to bed in energy cycles. Because we have 2 cycles I've never seen anybody put together yet. Well, actually, they have in the Ayurveda. Anybody ever read into Ayurvedic medicine? Mm-hmm. They've put it together in Ayurveda, but they haven't put it together in any of the current texts that we read in this country. So you have sleep cycles, which go along with energy cycles. So it's extremely important to know when you have alcohol, or what's legalized now is marijuana. You have marijuana, right? It's even worse to put yourself to sleep that way, because look at you're not even touching REM sleep until the very end. Yes?
Are we talking half a glass of Pinot, or are we talking a Bender?
You really make things so understandable for me. Okay, good. Sorry, that is a very good point. Hold on. All right, so it takes an hour to process 1 ounce of alcohol. 1 hour. So, a beer will have, no, a glass of wine will have 2 ounces of alcohol, I believe. So, if you have a glass of wine at 6 o'clock, you go to bed at 8 o'clock, your sleep cycle is not going to be affected. It's going to be extremely important to understand this concept when I talk about energy spikes, because you want to be in your major energy spike when you're in REM sleep, and I'll talk about that. So as long as you have all of the alcohol processed through your system, it won't affect your REM sleep. So it's timing. If you could have 5 glasses of wine, but if you start in mid-morning, you know, it's not really, all right, just kind of making, you know what I'm talking about? You know, mimosas in the morning, you know, Bloody Marys for the vitamin Bs, and then, you know, you kind of work your way through that way. Yeah. Well, I'm not suggesting that, but it would be healthier for you. So it takes an hour to process an ounce of alcohol. Just figure out how much you're drinking, and then move it back. Okay? I don't know the puff thing. I haven't looked that one up, how long it takes to process puff. But the same thing, sleeping pills are the same way. Sleeping pills bring you all the way, oh my God, I slept so good last night, I didn't even wake up. Yeah, no kidding, you were comatose. You slept in deep sleep, you didn't dream, and you didn't do the healing. So the quality of sleep is extremely important. And it's extremely important when we talk about sleep time. Okay. So this is a TV show that we produced. We did it last year, the year before. And I talk about energy spikes. The typical individual has their energy spikes are at midnight and noon. Move it like based on if you're a nighttime worker, that can change, but plus or minus 45 minutes. Now the energy spikes are moving a little bit later than midnight because of the circadian, because the sun's out longer, so our energy spikes transfer a little bit. Also, fevers will follow this path. So whenever you have energy spikes, your fevers are always. When are the kids going to spike their fever? Midnight, right? And towards that, they wake up, their fevers will be low, and then the fever will start climbing, and then it'll crash. These energy spikes are extremely important to know. By, just for quick reference, use noon and midnight. Okay? You should be in, has anybody ever heard the expression, every hour of sleep before midnight is worth 2 hours of sleep after midnight? That is because you want to be in REM sleep during an energy spike. Or if you're trying to go to bed close to midnight, you're going to get a second wind. You're never going to be able to fall asleep. All right? You ever get that? You know, you're real tired. It's like, oh my God, I just need to get through, you know, American Idol, and I'll go to bed. And then, oh my God, oh, whoa, yeah, that's right, baby, I'm here, I'm back. That's good, yeah, that's right, Bruins won, woohoo! Then you try to go to sleep. Right? It's because what's happening is you're going to sleep close to your energy spike. Now you're skratzued, right? Because what happens is you needed to be in bed before that, because when do you do your healing? REM sleep. You want to supercharge your healing? Be in REM sleep during your energy spike, and you do even more healing. And that's when you feel rested. So when you do the marijuana and the alcohol, what's happening is you're putting yourself in deep sleep through your energy spikes into the morning. You're dreaming at night right when you're coming out of it, and you're like, oh man, I feel good. Because then what's going to happen, you'll wake up, you pound a coffee, right? And you'll be like, you'll be here, and now you'll be running on adrenaline all day. You're going to gain weight. Your cholesterol might rise. Your blood pressure might rise. You're going to get sick often. That's just where we go as a culture. Acid indigestion is another one. Yes, great. Thanks, Anna. These are things that we see all the time, and we're really pulling these out and just trying to give you the information. I think this is great, because I was given a sleep talk, and I was given all about position and stuff like that. And I said, no, I need to add more why. You know, I need to add this stuff into it, because this really is the meat and potatoes of it. I know. You got to ask the guy upstairs on that one. I have no idea. Rapid eye movement is where your body is doing a lot of the processing. I would think that deep sleep is a little bit better, but it's not. It's REM. I don't know the answer to that question. Now, sleep position. All right. Here we go. How long? What? For those who's heard me talk about sleeping position before, right? Everybody who hasn't. Okay, good. For the people that have not, tell me what the best position to sleep is. 1, 2, 3, or 4. One, raise your hand. Okay, good. 2, raise your hand. Okay, 3. And 4. Four, okay, good. All right, so I've heard So how long can you watch TV like this? No, you can't watch TV like that. Why are we sleeping like that? Everybody, 90% of the people in this room sleep on your side, right? And oh no, I toss and turn on all night. No shit, you toss and turn all night. Because what's going to happen is you're going to go like this, and your body's going to, it has a brain center, and I'm going to show you that in a second, that the sleep center is very close to your pain center, right? When you have to go wee-wees in the middle of the night, like that little uncomfortable feeling, that's because those two areas are very close. Very difficult to be in pain and sleep at the same time, to go into a deep sleep and REM sleep. Your body will hover. Because what happens is, you're sitting here like this, your body's like, well, see you later. And you're going to turn right here. So you're going to go all night long. Now, do you think you toss and turn as much in deep sleep? Not even close. So, inadvertently, somebody will come into my office and they'll be like this and they can't move. It'll be Monday. What do you think the question I'm going to ask them is? No. I'm going to say, how many martinis did you have the night before? Because what's going to happen is, if you're a side sleeper, you're going to stay in that position 5 times longer before your body flips you. So there's something that's called drunken paralysis. Not that that we have to have this conversation, but when there's a phenomenon that people wake up and they go paralyzed in their arm temporarily because they've passed out. It happens in college quite a bit, and they lie on their arm and they can't wake up and use their arm because your body does not toss and turn when you're in that deep sleep mode. Okay. All right. Thank you. I think it's interesting also. So, anybody ever seen Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon? Right? You know, so I'm watching the movie, and then I saw when they fell asleep. Did you ever see what they fell asleep on? All right, I'll go over it in the next picture. So, now, I'm big about animals. I love animals, and I love to see how they sleep. So, I also love to see how humans sleep. And, yeah, dogs should, based on their spine and the vertebrae, should sleep on their side. Why? Because that is where the surface area is distributed most, so their weight is distributed over the greatest surface area. Now, do I have a greatest surface area like this, or like this? Like that. So, I am going to distribute the weight more evenly throughout the bed, or throughout my body, and you're going to be able to sleep in a more comfortable position. So it's extremely important to sleep like this, number one. Now you'd say, well, look at the distribution of the weight there. It's the same. Well, kind of, but this really messes things up a little bit. When your neck is twisted, that's, we don't want to do that. All right? So you can only do this for so long until, you, like I said, you end up with a shoulder issue or a neck issue or a back issue or hip bursitis. A lot of these things are caused from sleeping issues. All right? So you look at people and you see their head over here like this, you know that they're a side sleeper. Because you're throwing your head off. Oh yeah, use a big pillow, right? Move your head over here like this. And then somebody comes in, they're like, I get pain right here. Why do you think? What position do you sleep in? Side, you already know it. Yeah, I sleep on my side. Can you change the position? No, I can't change my position. Can you get rid of my pain? Well, yeah, kind of, I can help it, but it's not going to go away until we change these things. Because your body, ultimately, is an adaptation to your lifestyle. Whether you like it or not, whether you have high blood pressure, high cholesterol, neck pain, headaches, whatever it is, your body's adapting that way. So the idea is to listen to what your body's telling us. Pillow position. Thank you for bringing in your pillow tonight. Now, pillow is huge. Like, huge. Right? I mean, look at this little honey badger. She's sleeping on her back. She's loving it. This guy, look at all the night muscles, shoulder issues here, right? That's all I see there. Oh, look at this. Shoulder issue, fingers are going numb. Right? You know, oh, look at this. Nice cervical orthopedic pillow, back under here, legs. You know, which ones? You know, all of these. See, I did you like that? Watch this. That was awesome, huh? Right? Oh, thank you very much. I did that. I don't like any of those. No. Right? Like, so here's the deal. You want me to break each one of these down? All right. So here. What's the problem?
Too much of an angle.
Thank you. Could you grab me the spine in the other one? Mm-hmm. Thank you. All right, yes. So that's too much of an angle. Most people sleep with two pillows, three pillows. And when Anna grabs me this spine, I'm going to show you why this is an issue. This will cause headaches. This will cause neck issues. That's horrible. What's wrong here? Shoulder, neck's pushed up. This one's kind of the same thing. What's wrong with this? Yes, exactly. A lot of people would pick that up. He's supporting his head. And the chin's too far forward. And this one's supporting the head too much. I'm going to show you why this is important. I'm adding this in. This is you're getting current information. All right. When you look at the spine, this is what it should look like from the side. Okay? This is your super highway of information. I love it. So there's no elasticity in the spinal cord. All right? What that means is the body, in order for it to function correctly, needs to keep a distance from here to here. That needs to be well maintained. It can't stretch. There's no stretch in the spinal cord. Make sense? Okay. Let's call this distance A. When this happens, what happens to distance A? Does it increase or decrease? It increases. Does the body like that? This is going to happen. Does that increase or decrease the distance? Decreases it. So as the neck comes forward, the hip's going to shift. So you start walking, you start getting hip issues and back issues due to an improper sleeping position because you have a bad pillow. All right? This happens first, then you get the scoliosis in the lower back and the back issues and the hip issues and the worn down labrums and all that garbage. This guy here?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm going to show you that right now. All right? thanks to Janelle going and taking my recommendation that usually takes people months and months and months to do. Janelle did very quickly, which I appreciate that. So this is what I want to achieve with our sleeping position. I don't want to support the head, because when I support the head, I push it up. Because the beds are getting more and more comfortable, so this happens. Can you see that? I'm sleeping on my back. Most people put the pillow underneath the occiput, which is under the head right here. This typically squishes down way too much, and then the head becomes the major support. So that typically happens. If it's done well, it can happen, but a lot of the cervical pillows are not a big fan of. What I want is I want a pillow to go right under here and let the head hang off the back. Okay? That's what I want. I call it the head garage. Janelle, do you mind if I use your pillow? It has a plastic covering. Yeah. That makes it safe. This wall is my bed. It's hanging off. It's lightly resting on the pillow. Okay, I'm going to show you here. And this is great. So if your spouse snores, I can't even hear you guys. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh. So, what has just happened is I did not use a pillow like everybody tells you to use a pillow, like this. I've taken that pillow and I've put it on its edge like this, and my head sits in there. Enjoy the head garage. It has to be about a 550 to a 650 down pillow. Then what you do is you find a down pillow that's this soft, and then you get something equal to that. I did find one at the Sleep Number store, but they're expensive. Okay. The problem is down. I'll tell you, pushes in and doesn't push back at you. Mm-hmm. Down alternative gives you a little too much bounce. Mm-hmm. So, what's that? That's what I mean. There are down alternative ones. So what I tell people, get this pillow. To be honest with you, I have not gone out there to look for a down alternative pillow. So what I could do is first we adjust people, decrease their sensitivities to the allergy. But then second, what I can do is I'm going to go out there. I found one at the Sleep Number store. It's this soft. It's a down alternative, and I really, really liked it. But that's the only one that I've found so far. 550 to 700 count, anything in there. That's a 650 filled down pillow. She got that at Target. Oh, that's a 600 filled down pillow. She got it at Target for $65. They sell them at Bed Bath & Beyond for $99 to $125. They sell them at Macy's for about the same amount, $55. So I'm big on supporting the neck, and it crushes way down. Okay? So what happens is your head is supported, the pillow's up, and then your neck is supporting back. Because you cannot sleep like this, you'll toss and turn all night. Because you'll get pain underneath the occiput, underneath the back of your neck.
So you try it with a pillow at home, a regular pillow?
If I would suggest, if you want, anybody here, not for you listening to this right there at home, anybody that came in here, if you want, you can just come by the office, bring your pillow, and I'll look at it for you, okay? And I'll tell you if it will work. Because a lot of times your pillows at home will work, okay? So I'll do that for you, if anybody wants to. Just call and just tell them you're coming by and stuff like that. Okay? Good. How to go to sleep? How do you sleep? Well, very interesting. I came up with a really weird way to talk about it. Because I'm not normal. My mother told me that. A lot of counseling to get over that. All right. So, we have the think brain. This is think brain. What do you do with the think brain, do you think? So then you have the remember brain. What do you think you do with the remember brain? Remember. So, you ever see the thinker? Energy is extremely important with your head position. You'll lean to the side of dominance for the head. When you think, you'll look down. When you remember, you'll look up. Right? Because it's really weird how you know if somebody's thinking or somebody's lying. You can tell different things. I'm not going to tell you how I know. But there are different things. I love the psychology of brain and thinking. I really was into it as a kid. Well, in college. So the think brain is the front part of your brain. Right? It's considered the educated brain. Do you think that's where you sleep? Oh, I already put it on there. Dang it. I should have done my little swingy things in. I could have done that. So, no, this is your awake brain. This is where you numbered, you're thinking, you're putting things together, you're organizing things, you're thinking about things to do. You're thinking about what you have to do. You're thinking about organizing. You're thinking about things. Oh my God, what am I going to do tomorrow? Oh yeah, okay, the dinner, I got to prepare the dinner. Oh, I got to clean the yard. When you're thinking, what do you think you're not doing? You're not sleeping because you can't think yourself to sleep. You have to, you're only going to hear it here, you have to remember yourself to sleep. So what's that mean? You have to pick, so what your brain does is it doesn't think about new things when it's dreaming. What do you think it's doing? It's processing it's remembering everything that you have, and it's putting things together and processing life in your brain. It's like, yeah, it's defragging the hard drive and putting things together so you recall. It's getting rid of some stuff. It's doing that in your subconscious brain, which you program from all the advertising, whatever. But it's processing everything. So you need to tap into that to get to sleep and, more importantly, stay asleep. Because if you finally fatigue yourself enough, you can remember yourself to sleep, but you're going to wake up all night long. No, think yourself to sleep, but you're going to remember. You're going to wake up all night long. You have to remember yourself to sleep. So, I need to be very careful with this because I have a fantastic condition called ADD, right? So, I am driven to adrenaline sports. I do very crazy things that I shouldn't do at my age. With the responsibility I have, I know, Mom, I'm sorry, I'm listening to you, but I'm not really. So I'm jumping off of cliffs, I'm doing, gap jumps on my mountain bike. So I'm remembering those things, and what do you think those things produce? Adrenaline. Do you think you can sleep while you're over here? No, so I have to be very, very careful to remember those things, but remember the beginning of the ride when there's not as much adrenaline. And I think about everything, from the time I take off, to the pedal strokes, to going up the hill, to what my buddy said to me going up the hill, and I travel through I've never made it to the end. I travel through until I'm done, until I'm sleeping. So that's what I do. I play Ultimate Frisbee. So what I'll do is I'll remember playing, I'll remember the throw into the end zone where the guy almost tipped it. I'll remember everything about that aspect, because what am I doing? I am accessing this part of my brain, not by counting sheep, because you can, you have to think about the numbers, and then it will become, monotonous, and then you'll fall asleep. But if you pick something, a walk, and you can, and what's so cool about this thing is you can say, I am going to go out right now to create a memory that's going to put me to sleep tonight. And what I find, though, which is really weird, is if it happens that day, it won't put me to sleep. Because I'm guessing that that's because it's in my present mind. So I have to wait at least a day before I've dreamt before that memory will put me to sleep. I don't know. That's just how I am. I'm interested to see if you guys use this, because I've never talked about this before publicly. I'm interested to see if you guys use this, if you can remember that event that night and then still put yourself to sleep. Because I find that you can only, and I can only do it by remembering things in the past. It probably has something to do with that. Yeah. It does, because your body processes it, puts it back to where the sleep centers are, and then you'll sleep with it. And I know I'm coming close to time, so we'll be wrapping up shortly. Do you guys like this? Is this?
If you remember your dream, is it a good sleep or a bad sleep?
It's a bad sleep.
What if you remember multiple?
Oh, boy. Here we go. You guys, this is a rabbit hole I wasn't going down. Did you have a... Oh, yeah, it's great. Go to sleep. You're going to have fun sleeping.
Is that what you mean?
Yes.
More like on the beach.
Like when you're talking about your bike ride, that you went with your bike. Like
yeah.
You're kind of replaying that ride in your mind.
And the interesting part, right, is the subconscious brain, and I'm going to really go out there on you, has no concept of time, no concepts of space awareness. You could fly around if you want, remember. You can do anything you want in that subconscious mind. And that's why dreams are really weird, because you can do anything. You can be anybody you want in that state. So I'm reading a book, Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself. You have to give yourself the permission to live life like you want it, and then you will that will actually become reality. But you, yes, you're right. So just you could fly around. You can just think about how the muscles felt or how you were feeling with the smells that you had, but think about everything about it.
And that, I assume, would work when you wake up at 3 in the morning.
Yeah, that is the
which
point.
The
which, okay. Oh, man, I have so much more information. I'm going to have to, just to respect everybody's time. What I'll do, if anybody wants to leave right now, right, because I said that this went to 7:30, you can leave. And then you can listen to this afterwards. So if you have to leave, take off. I'll be another 10 minutes, okay? Nobody left. Wow, that's awesome. Wow, cool. All right. All right, so here you go. All right, cliffhanger. All right. So when you are up, when you hear that, when you remember that dream, or when you, that means you're not coming down into that deep sleep quick enough. So you can remember the dream at the end, like right when you wake up, and then you should forget it, typically. That means if you don't, it means you're cutting down your sleep cycles. You're not going through all 8 of them. Right, you're waking up midway through a sleep cycle where your body needs that REM sleep, so it wants you to remember that dream. If you go to sleep thinking about that dream, it'll put yourself to sleep like that. If you re-dream a dream that you remember, you're in bed. You're done. Forget about it. You're going to pass out right in my waiting room. But if you remember, you have to self-focus, because your brain's in think mode, right? It's thinking. It's putting all this stuff together. You will pull yourself out of the back part of your brain into the conscious part of your brain so quickly that you will not be able to go back to sleep. You have a certain amount of time. When you go Tinky Pops, do not turn on the light right.
Right.
That's so bad, because you will take the melatonin in your brain and serotonin levels and stick it down. Your body's going to wake up. You're going to be up. Look at you. Oh, I love you. I love you too. No, I'm joking.
Still stuck on the Tinky Pops.
So, So you will, wake up if you turn the lights on too bright. Okay? So you want to make sure that the lights are dark, the room's dark. When you go, make, if not, install dimmers on your, in your toilets. I mean, you know what I mean, your bathrooms. But yeah, so in order to put yourself back to sleep, you got to think yourself back to sleep. You got to remember yourself back to sleep. Okay? So that's why it's important to pick the same thing and remember it over and over and over and over and over again. I put myself to bed with the same things all the time. I'm still putting myself to bed with something I did a year ago.
What about when you wake up and you fall back to sleep and you actually continue to dream?
That's great. That's good.
That's all right?
Yeah, the problem is if you continue and remember when you wake up, you didn't go through the 8 sleep cycles. Yeah, you can definitely go in and continue that dream. That's good. That's the quickest way to go back to sleep, by the way. Yeah, that.
I remember two dreams a night.
Yeah, you're not getting a deep. You're not going through a deep enough sleep cycle. You want to look at the foods that you're eating. If you're eating too late, that's horrible. Eating late is very, very bad because what will happen is your body needs to burn. Will need to burn that stuff, so your metabolism will speed up. You'll be racing. You'll never go into a deep sleep because your body's going to try to. Be anxious. You'll have nightmares. You'll sweat. Yes. Oh, why did you bring that up? I was trying to stay away from that topic. All right. Yeah. No. All right. So I am not a big fan of taking melatonin. I am a bigger fan of supporting. The factors of melatonin, serotonin, dopamine, and all of those things. So when I address somebody's sleep issues, I address them with anxiety issues, as anxiety issues. So I help them calm their systems with using magnesium. I help them calm their systems using a new product called Serenity, which supports those neurotransmitters, but allows the body to release them naturally. If you take them, you override some of those systems and you mess with the sleep cycles. Yeah, so I'm much, I like to support the anxiousness because the anxiousness is why you're not sleeping and people just don't know how to go to sleep. All right, get adjusted big time, decreases anxiety, improves quality of sleep, decreases pain, makes your sleeping positions much more comfortable. That is a, I'm a big, obviously a big proponent of getting adjusted. Some of the final considerations, okay? Caffeine. Caffeine's a big one. How many people have a... All right, hold on. How many hours of sleep should you get, do you think?
Eight.
Minimum eight. I get about 9. So, right. So I get about 8.5 to 9. I know, I'm the weird one. All right, so, all right, good. So you get 8 hours of sleep a night. What time is the average bedtime? So how many people go to bed at 9:30? Good. How many people go to bed at 10, 10:30, 11, 12? Okay. All right. So the if you're going to bed, you need 9 hours for one cup of coffee. All right? Or you are going to mess up your sleep cycles. 9 hours. Think about that. Caffeine in one cup of coffee. Yes.
How much
the size of the person and the consistency you have the caffeine affects it. So if you are if you're a person that picked up a cup of caffeine and drank it, you need 9 hours, even if you're a short-term caffeine user. If you are a consistent caffeine user, my rule of thumb, listen, you should never need caffeine to stay awake. You should use caffeine because for that little energy or that focus, but you shouldn't need it to wake yourself up. So you need a fraction of, you should have a fraction amount of caffeine we have in this country. But you can get away having your last cup of coffee around noon, possibly 1 o'clock, then you're done. I don't ever, if I ever have a coffee, I will never have it past 10 o'clock in the morning. Ever. Decaf matters, yeah. It's the caffeine that keeps you up.
Can you take like a nap in the middle of the day, and does that count?
It does. Yes. You have to make up REM sleep. So let's say you will get sick after losing a night's sleep for one time. Actually, I take that back. In the wintertime, you will get sick losing a night's sleep one time. The summertime, you're less likely. But if you're getting an hour less sleep a night, and you don't need an hour's sleep to make up for that hour's loss, you need to pick up the REM sleep. Okay? So if you lose an hour, you need to rest about 45 minutes. Right, so you can make up, but if you lose an hour and then you lose another hour and another hour and another hour, you can't make it up with 1 hour rest. Like a lot of people will watch a show, get an hour less sleep, then they'll go and exercise, which they're requiring even more sleep because your metabolism's faster. So then what happens is you're not getting enough sleep the next night, then eventually you get worn down and you'll lose energy. And it takes you weeks and weeks and weeks to get it back.
So if you lose 2 hours a day.
Yeah.
And say you get like 10 hours on Saturday. Does that get any of that back?
A little bit, but you're still going to end up doing that long term. Cold and flus, high blood pressure, fatigue, inability to handle stress, poor memory. If any of these are going on, you're not getting enough sleep. Okay? Right? So sleep is a major pillar. If there's an issue health-wise, you have a sleep problem. Oh, I meant to go 1, 2, 3. All right. Blankets.
Didn't even know.
All right.
Wait, before we move on from the caffeine thing. What about exercise? How long can you, like, I can't exercise till after we leave. And then...
Then you wanted a cup of caffeine?
No caffeine.
Oh.
No, I'm not taking any pre-exercise stuff, but if you go to the gym right now...
Yeah.
And I do 45 minutes of cardio,
good.
Am I ruining my sleep cycle?
No. Nope, you need to be able to put yourself to sleep, though. The problem is the adrenaline. You need to be able to come down very quickly. It takes practice, as far as I'm concerned.
You know, you've got like maybe a protein drink or something afterwards.
You could do that, yeah, don't have a lot of food. But the more your metabolism increases, the more sleep you're going to need.
Well, you should better off working out in the morning.
You are. Yeah. You are. Midday, morning. Actually, if you work out in the morning and you're subtracting sleep, so let's say you're waking up earlier to work out, you got to be careful with that. Okay.
Yeah, so you're suggesting to get to sleep, think of an experience the day before, is that what you're suggesting?
Mm-hmm.
And how do you, are you saying to yourself, oh, geez, what pleasant experience I had the day before that I'm gonna put in my mindset when I go to sleep? Is that usually your thought process?
Yes, and think about it over, and do it one night, and the next night, the next night, the next night, the next night. Think about the same thing. Get good at thinking about it, because you got to get rid of so much garbage out of your head to focus on thinking about that. Yeah. Yeah, and then you can have different experiences, but know that you're going to think about those.
So then how come when I'm reading a book, I'm like, you know, 5, 6 pages into it, and I'm out? I'm thinking while I'm reading it, but that just puts me right out.
Yeah. I'm not going to comment on. So you can, some people are like that. You do, when you're into it, you're actually going to a different part of your brain. You're accessing the subconscious brain when you're reading sometimes. And if you're a person that can do that, you're going to get really tired very quickly. I can do that also. But I don't need to read to go to sleep. I want to teach people the things to do to be able to go to sleep. Right? Reading, some people stay in their conscious mind doing that. That way you will not put yourself to sleep. But have you ever driven a car? Right? You're driving a car, you're in your conscious mind. when you're driving. But then if it's late, you'll put yourself to sleep because your body is goes into this disconnected state and it taps into your subconscious brain. You learn twice as fast doing that also. You retain information. That's a kind of complicated thing. So the answer is you can do that. Some people can. Another one, blankets. I want to go over these very, very quickly. Blankets. I know your hubby bubbies, if you have a significant other, that you love each other and sometimes you love to stay in the same blankets. I don't recommend it. Okay? You'll play tug of war all night long. And if you play tug of war all night long, if the covers are going across you and then you're sleeping on them and you're going like this and then you're putting them under this way because they took them from that way. I've done it. That keeps you up on a consistent basis. So you're not going, in this case, you're not going into the deep sleep you need. You need all stages of sleep. So if you don't go into deep sleep, you will be sleep deprived. It means you will remember your dreams all night long. So there, the body does have an issue that way. I'm a big fan. Remember, don't eat before you go to bed. And then don't eat before you go to bed. Have your feet and your hands outside the covers. Okay? So put a lot of covers on top of you, feet and hands outside the covers so your body can temperature regulate. So you don't sweat underneath your feet. People are like, oh, my feet get so cold. Yeah, they'll get cold because you're cold inside. At the beginning, you can warm up like that, but you want to keep your core warm, keep your feet out so your temperature can regulate. Okay? So put heavier covers on you, but keep your feet and your hands out. And have your own blanket so your arms can come out. You don't want, you know, this happening. So you each have your own covers. You can, you know, cover them with your covers, you know. But you want to make sure that you have your own covers and put your heat and your feet and your hands out. Food, make sure you don't eat a lot of food before you go to bed. But you do need to stabilize your blood sugar levels. You can't go to sleep starving. So if you are really hungry, I'm a big proponent of not eating, but if you are really hungry and you need to eat something, have a scoop of like sunflower butter. Have that fat, because what that will do, that will stabilize your insulin levels and you'll sleep better that night. Sometimes we wake up because we're really hungry. You don't want to go to sleep hungry. But you don't want to go to sleep with a lot of food in your stomach either. All right? So that's one thing. Yeah, so typically you should not eat 4 hours before you go to bed. Okay? Yeah, you shouldn't have a big meal 4 hours before you go to bed. Big meal. Right? You can have a salad an hour and a half before you go to bed. Small salad. But just eat something small. You don't want to have a lot of food in your stomach, or you will mess up your sleep cycles every single night. Because your body has to burn that off, and you will go like this. Because your body's going to pack that on in fat. Last two things. Room setup. Just make sure that your head is to a wall and your feet are to a door. Okay? It's kind of energy in the room, how that's set up feng shui-wise. You can go online, feng shui, how to set up a room. Head to the wall. Eileen, do you have it? Do you have anything on this? I hate to kind of put you out there. On room setup for beds, do you know much about that?
No, I mean, I definitely know that the whole feng shui thing is not to be near a door, because then you feel like you could be attacked kind of coming in, yeah. Your anxiety. You always want to have your vision sort of towards the opening. So that,
And you don't want your head to a window either. You want to a wall, right? So that's one thing. TV etiquette, TV off, right? Right, put etiquette. Do you not have to have them in your room? No, you have to be disciplined. Go to bed and wake up at the same time. You shouldn't wake up with an alarm clock. Anybody's waking up with an alarm clock, you're waking up in the middle of a sleep cycle. It's bad. So go to bed and wake up at the same time. TV off. Don't go to sleep with the TV on. Yes. Fine, that's fine, because what's happening is if you listen to that fan, right, that noise will put you to sleep.
Yeah.
A sleep machine will work too. I like to be, if you can learn, because there are other things you can do, if you can learn to get in your own brain and tap into some memories, you can put yourself to sleep anywhere in any part of the day. You can, yeah. You put a pillow over your head. So, yeah.
It's I've tried all that. I could be exhausted.
We'll talk about that.
Okay.
And then last one. Animals or people in your space? I love it. A lot of people let the animals on the bed and, oh, I can't go to sleep because my cat, my dog, my fish, you know, they're on the bed. Well, listen, you have to have your own space. Okay? I love cuddling, you know, cuddling's great, spooning is all fun, but you know, the thing is you're not going to get a good night's sleep like that. Spoon, cuddle, do what you do, when it's time for bed, it's time for bed. Sleep. Because you get yourself into problems. The sleep is so important, you will internalize things. You will get sick, you will get fat, you will get You'll get anxiety ridden. You will have health issues that you're not attributing to sleep.
Did it take you a while to develop sleeping on your back? Or is that something you've always done?
It took me a long. I was a side sleeper for many, many years. I would sleep on my stomach too. It takes a lot of self discipline. It's not going to happen overnight. All right, guys, listen to this talk over and over again. If you want the talk and the slides, you can put your name on the information. Also, another way to do it, if you got to boot out of here, you can text the word back to 77, like on your phone, you put 77948 and text the word back. That's my number. What that will do, that will give us your email address, and then I'll send you the PowerPoint, this PowerPoint and this audio. Because there's a lot of information in it, and there were some little rabbit holes I didn't want to jump into. If you have any questions, just email me, talk to me during your appointments. If you're not patients, I'd love to invite you in here because it's a fun place to be. And if you can, patients and non-patients, if you can tackle the sleep issue, you will take your health to a whole new place. Thank you so much. Thank you for your attention. And next month, oh yeah, last thing. Next, if you go on our website now, at the bottom of the page, there's going to be, right here. So here's the page. At the bottom of the page, there'll be a list of all of our upcoming, every month, at the beginning day, so March 1st, I will post the topic and the time for the talk for next month. I still don't know what it is yet, but I'll figure it out. And we'll post that next week. Anybody have any ideas on topics?
Yeah.
I'm tired. I got to go. Maybe I'll do Nutrition 201. I did Nutrition 101. I'll do 201. I like the Nutrition one. Thank you, guys. Thank you so much.